This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. On Monday afternoon, he went to the Senate floor to explain why he is going to oppose this debt compromise proposal put forth by House Speaker John Boehner, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, and President Obama. And Senator, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg.
You had a couple main reasons why this was unacceptable. And just to bring our listeners up to date, you were also opposed to the Boehner and the Reid plan. So this one kind of falls in the middle. So it probably shouldn't come as much of a surprise that you're not seeing this as good enough. Explain specifically why.
Well, the fundamental problem, I think, is it doesn't much change our unsustainable spending and debt picture. You know, it just tinkers at the margin while Rome is burning. And that's the big problem. I mean, the cuts in the first 2 years under this plan are trivial, less than 1%. Under this plan, we rack up another $7 trillion of debt. Spending keeps going up. The unsustainable debt to GDP ratio keeps going up. There's no balanced budget ever under the plan. So we just need to do better. I don't want to default, but I don't want a downgrade of our credit rating either. And that's what we're headed for, including under this plan.
In terms of the spending reductions, you mentioned the cuts were paltry. Are those actual cuts or cuts in the increased rate of spending?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's cuts in increases. Only in Washington is that a draconian cut. In the real world, you cut from what you're actually spending now. But these are all cuts from increases.
And another thing you mentioned on the Senate floor was that even the cuts that are there, despite how they're defined as cuts when it's reductions in spending increases, they're not really all that enforceable. Explain what that means.
No, two things. First of all, there's no enforcement teeth in this bill. So if a future Congress just wants to bust these numbers, they can do it by just passing a new bill. Same vote required as for this bill. So there's no enforcement mechanism. Secondly, this so-called trigger to make this select committee produce reform ideas, I don't think that's going to work. I think the trigger will actually ensure that this select committee does not pass reform ideas, because the triggers contain deep defense spending cuts and no real Medicare reform ideas. And that's going to be very attractive for the liberals to stick to rather than support any alternative plan.
In terms of where you would have liked to have seen this gone, what would have been appropriate parameters for what you would consider a real debt ceiling bill that actually does move us in the right direction?
Well, you know, forget about me. Look to the markets, look to experts, credit rating agencies. What they've been talking about for months is at least minimum, absolute minimum, $4 trillion of debt reduction. This is barely half that, even if everything goes right. And as I said, I think things aren't going to go right. These numbers will likely be busted because there's no enforcement mechanism.
And so when it comes to this super committee and the work that they would be doing between now and, I guess, Thanksgiving, and then whatever results they came up with would go to lawmakers before Christmas, do you get the sense, like some other conservatives do, that this is a vehicle for tax increases in order to avoid what you just mentioned before, which would be unpleasant cuts in defense spending for a lot of Republicans?
Well, tax increases is the only thing I think is going to be more attractive than these defense cuts to the liberals. So it seems to me either we get that, which would be bad for the economy, or we get nothing, and these deep, deep defense cuts trigger.
A lot of folks right now, Senator, are saying, well, it's August 1st. August 2nd is the deadline. So what else could be swapped in? You mentioned what you'd like to see in terms of $4 trillion in debt reduction over the next 10 years. What realistically is an alternative at this point?
Well, the immediate alternative would be to pass a one-week, two-week debt extension and work on a more meaningful plan, or maybe pass the first half of this bill, those cuts, that debt extension, and keep working on something a lot more meaningful by the time that expires.
Do you get the sense the votes are there for this on both sides of the Hill? It needs 60 in the Senate, and according to reports, Speaker Boehner once again is having to work pretty hard to wrangle up the majority on that side, too.
Yeah, I think the Senate vote won't be terribly close. The real drama is in the House, and so I guess we'll know soon enough this evening.
Senator, you've been home recently, and you'll be home over the summer work period here.
Sure.
What What have your constituents been telling you about this issue in terms of what they want to see get done?
They want Washington to live by the same sort of real-world requirements they have to. They have to really balance a family budget. Small businesses have to really balance their budget. And Washington seems to live in this completely different planet, and they want Washington to join the rest of us in the real world.
Over the last really week or so, but perhaps even a little bit longer than that, you've kind of had what is generally considered the Tea Party part of the Republican Party versus the establishment. That might be a little too generic to really describe what's happening, but there's definitely different ideologies competing
right
here within the party. What have you made of that confrontation, and what do you think it'll mean for the future of the party going forward?
Well, first of all, the good news is that Tea Party conservatives have made a huge difference changing the debate and changing the tone in Washington. Obviously, we're not there yet by what I think of this bill, but no doubt about it, the last election and Tea Party conservatives have made a difference. We just need to keep pushing, keep the pressure on relentlessly.
And we'll be following each step of the way. Senator, always great of you to spend some time with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.